Amen, amen. My, I thought John the Baptist was going to come to us today. Amen. Thank you, choir, and Pastor Steve, and Brother Frank, and choir. Turn to John chapter 20, the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20. This morning is the second part of last Sunday morning's message entitled, This is Love. Nothing commands the voice of salvation like the love of God. We are in huge need to experience the full measure of His love, not just simply to look at it and sample it, but to be overwhelmed and absorbed in His love. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 2 as we begin. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the reason she was called Magdalene is not because her last name was Magdalene. She was from Magdala. In fact, it is in Israel today, the site of the world's oldest synagogue has been excavated and found in Magdala. And so it is a beautiful fishing village. At least it was in Jesus' day. Now it just remains. But that's why her name was Mary Magdalene, Mary from Magdala. She came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, we think it was John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now skip to verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped in and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white shining, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Verse 14, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means my teacher. May God add his blessing to the hearing and reading of his word. One of Tommy's favorite games was to ride his mother's broom in the backyard like it was a horse. And then when it began to get dark, he would come inside and leave the broom in the yard. One evening following dinner, Tommy's mother said to him, now, Tommy, go out and get the broom. To which Tommy replied, I'm scared to go out in the dark, Mama. Well, mother said, well, the Lord is out there, honey. Don't be afraid. So Tommy, he went to the back door, cracked it, and said, Lord, if you're out there, would you please bring me the broom? Just like Tommy, I dislike darkness. You see, darkness causes me to stumble. It challenges me to go where I want to be. Darkness is a safety hazard. It oftentimes causes me to feel alone. In fact, darkness can be rather haunting. Now, most of us have learned to deal quite well with the darkness at night. In fact, sometimes we even prefer it as we make our way to rest. But it's when darkness comes our way in the night, in the light. It's when we live in darkness through the day that the drear and the pain and the challenge of darkness pervades. You see, darkness comes to us all. When Jesus was crucified, darkness came to all the earth from noon till 3. I want you to listen. I'm going to read Luke 23:44. Luke 23:44. Listen carefully as I read it. It was now about the sixth hour, that's noon in that day and time, and darkness fell over the whole land. Depending on your translation, it may say the whole earth. Until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Now, when Jesus hung on the cross, God showed his displeasure with humanity. You see, God turned the lights out for a period of 3 hours. In the middle of the day, beginning at noon, when the light should have shined the brightest. You see, God was saying that he was displeased with all the contributors to the sin on earth that required his only beloved son to die on the cross. It was though God himself shut his eyes, turned out the lights, and expressed his grief over the crucifixion and the death of his son. God remains sorrowful when darkness comes to us. And it does. In fact, it comes to marriages. I'll be speaking about that in the next 3 weeks. I hope that you're here. In the next 3 weeks, I'll be addressing. Now, that's marriage. You see, if you desire to be married, if you are married, or if you know someone who is married, we invite you to come and listen and learn. And I think that hits us all. You see, there's a pervasive darkness that has come to marriage today. You see, there is a darkness that has entered our homes. There's darkness between moms and dads and children and parents. There's this eerie, dreadful pain that seems to be lurking throughout our land. Now, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. I want you to look yet again at chapter 20, verse 1. This is not just an incidental detail. I believe there's far more to it than just what we might immediately consider. Now, on the first day of the week, that was Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday, by the way. It was the day of the Lord's return to life. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. You see, Jesus laid in the tomb 3 days. The stone closed the tomb and it was dark. Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Lamb of God, our Savior, the only unique Son of God, lied in darkness 3 days. And then Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. She finds the stone rolled away and it is still dark. You know, I find myself wondering how much of this is still occurring today. You see, from time to time, we all find ourselves in moments of darkness. Sometimes we experience darkness as fear, or as anxiety, and worry, and regret. You see, darkness suggests that we don't really know what comes next because we can't see ahead. When I was a child, I disliked the darkness. I was afraid of the darkness. And I was an adult much further down the road in life. I see yet a even more terrifying darkness than I experienced as a child. Because as a child, I would run and turn the light on. We'd never have night lights. I'm not sure they were even invented then. But we certainly would not afford the expense. So occasionally I would sneak up and just turn the light on for a brief moment and go back to bed. There is a more frightening darkness than what I experienced as a child. You see, this past week, we witnessed yet again another attack on decent human life through the destruction of a Jewish synagogue. And just a few days prior, how many believers had gathered in churches of Sri Lanka, and there they were coming to worship just as we did this morning, but they never exited because of terror and evil. You see, darkness pervades our planet. And then on the streets of Atlanta and the streets of cities and the surrounding environments, there are folks who absolutely have no regard for life. Why? Because they're living in darkness. All they see is darkness. And they're overwhelmed with its terror. The good news is that love moves us out of darkness. Now, there's very little need to make the case for God's love. I think you experience enough of life and the challenges of life, difficulties of life, the mishaps of life, to know that you sure need the love of God. And my, just to consider, as we did last week, how unconditional and how consistent the love of God is in our lives. But I want us to see this morning how the love of God moves us out of darkness. Because there is an answer. We might wonder, well, does the answer come from a political of shifting and realignment? Well, there may be some helps, but that certainly is not the answer. Because we've had a lot of political shifts and realignments. And we still have darkness. There is an answer. There is a way for the darkness to be dispelled and for light to come. And that is nothing other than the love of Christ, the love of God. You see, it's a heart issue. Ultimately, the reason people live in darkness, the reason that we fear darkness, is because sin and the pain and drudgery that darkness affords. Easter means that we can leave darkness behind. Listen, if there ever was a good news message, it is found in Easter. And that is, all that is dark, all that deprives us of love and fulfillment and joy and significance and meaning is found in the love of God. Are you living in fear today? I mean, consider the past week. Would you say that you were a bit overcome with anger? Or maybe anxiety? Perhaps selfishness would describe you, or perhaps you're living with shame. Maybe some regret. Maybe a failure of your past just seems to overwhelm you. I want you to know that nothing other than the love of God can dispel the darkness and can bring you into light. That's the beauty of Easter. The love of God is that, and that alone, which can remove all the tyranny of darkness and bring a great replacement. Consider the love that a mother has for her child. For 9 months, she gets sick. My wife went through it 3 times. Morning sickness, just about every day. The woman becomes bloated, and she asks her husband, "How do I look today?" Of which there is no good answer. Her clothes no longer fit. In fact, she describes herself as a blimp. We would never make such statements. The cost, the financial outlay, doctor's visits, doctor's appointment. You have to have new clothing. You got to have the kind that stretches in front. It just is enormous. And then comes labor, right? We men are told over and over again, it's the worst pain in life. But then when the new baby comes, right? When the baby comes and mama holds the baby in her arms for the first time, it's like all the darkness just seems to go away. You see, that's the love of God. When the love of God comes in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, the darkness goes away. It's not that it wasn't there. It's not that we failed to acknowledge it. It's just gone. You know, there's a power in Easter. There's a power to the love of God. I'm concerned that we just sometimes use rhetoric. Even in the church, we just say things and it really hasn't got in us yet. And I believe this is certainly true with the love of God. There is a power to the love of God. The power behind the empty tomb was a loving relationship with Jesus. Now here's where we really begin to understand the love of God. Last week we gave attention to the empty tomb during sunrise service. In fact, I spoke on this matter. The empty tomb was an absolute amazing historical event. Mary Magdalene, some of the other ladies, then later on come some of the disciples, they go to the empty tomb. The tomb had to be empty because had the tomb not been empty, we would not be here. I mean, that was absolutely required. But I do remind you of this, that it took more than the empty tomb to convince Mary Magdalene that life was different and that her darkness had gone. Because Mary Magdalene, when she saw the empty tomb, said, "Where did they lay Jesus?" And then when she saw Jesus initially, she thought he was a gardener. And Peter, it took more than an empty tomb to convince Peter that all the darkness now is gone in life. Because he went back home fishing. The love of God was with Mary even while she was in the darkness. I mean, here's Mary Magdalene. She comes to the empty tomb, right? And she looks in. She doesn't see Jesus. She questions, where has he gone? Someone stole his body. The same argument that the Jewish leaders made to the soldiers, we'll give you money if you state that the disciples took his body away. And Mary Magdalene just immediately just grabs onto that notion. But you know that Jesus loved her still. Even while she was still roaming in the darkness, even while she hadn't come to this incredible relationship, the power yet, I mean, Jesus still loved her. And that's exactly the way it is with us. You see, God loves you whether you recognize it or not. And I'm thinking many of you haven't yet really recognized it. Now, I realize you know it's true. We say a lot of things that we believe are true that are true. But that's different than letting the truth really assimilate in our souls. I mean, if it hasn't changed your life, you don't have it yet. Now listen carefully, I'm going to be as clear as I know to be. I'm absolutely certain that every single one in here, or at least I would assume pretty certainly that everyone here believes that God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I believe you acknowledge that to be true. You wouldn't be here. Why would you? We're not all that entertaining here. But now my question is, has it really got to you? Has it made any difference? Is there any power in you? The love that God demonstrated in giving life back to his son so that we could live, has it changed your life?
Do you live differently? Do you walk differently? Do you shop differently? Do you talk differently? Do you make decisions differently? Now, God loves you, and so does Jesus, his only son, whether you got it or not. Whether you understand it or not, whether you have embraced it or not, whether you've reached a point of faith where you say, okay, you know, okay, I'm going to yield to this love, I'm going to concede to it. Even if you've not reached that point in your life, I want you to know that he loves you. And with his love, there's power. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love. It's the most powerful reality of God, because God is love. It was the love of God who created the world, who created you, who sustains the world and sustains you, and who has a plan for the world and has a plan for you. You see, Jesus changes darkness to light by his love. Now, you know the story. Mary thinks that Jesus is a gardener. She sees him and still misidentifies Jesus because she's in darkness. She's weeping, crying, and sad. It's just darkness. But when Jesus called her name, Mary, that's when Mary suddenly realized there's Jesus. It's him. And she can hold him again and touch him again and see him again. And then she cries out, Rabboni, my rabbi. You're talking about a powerful moment that changed her life when Jesus said, Mary. You see, the power of God and his love will change your life. It'll fill you with hope and joy. No more sadness. Not that we don't have sad moments, but I mean we don't live in sadness. There's no defeat. There's no hopelessness. You see, that's true for us. We are in darkness from time to time. But his love causes us to come out of that. It brings us joy and hope. We don't have to live in fear and shame, anxiety anymore, because his love frees us. It's the most powerful entity in the heart and life of God. When my grandmother died many years ago, in fact, she was the first significant death in my life. I was a youngster when she passed. I remember driving to the hospital with my parents. I was in the back seat, and all I wanted to do was just sing a hymn. It's all we sung at our church back in the old days. And I just started singing hymns. I didn't sing them very loud. I didn't think it was appropriate that my mom and dad would be overwhelmed by me. And I remember that so succinctly, because there was an element of almost anger there, because she left Germany and she developed cancer and died so quickly, so quickly. But when I connected with my Savior, when I connected with him, even as a boy, without theological training, without any real experience of life, I knew that the love of God was powerful. So I need to ask you, how would you describe your relationship with Jesus? Would you describe it in theological terms? Perhaps in a creedal kind of form. I believe that Jesus is the sovereign, uniquely begotten Son of God, came to earth, and by his substitutionary atonement died on the cross. By the way, all of that's true. And all of that's important. But that really doesn't define my relationship. You see, my relationship was, once I was lost and now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. You see, in that, there is a connection. You see, human religion can distance people and can add anger to people's lives, frustration. But when you have a relationship with God, there is power in the relationship. The love of God is powerful. And if it's not in your life, you haven't got it yet, or maybe you've walked away from it. The love of God creates a powerful relationship, a bond, a cement that can endure any challenge and any force from above or below. Don't you just love that hymn? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know who holds the future. Life is worth living because why? Life is worth living because he lives. That's why we go ahead every day. That's why we can face challenges. Because he lives. He lives in us. We're reborn of the Spirit. There is a powerful relationship between Christ and his followers. Now, we grow in this. Don't misunderstand me. We do grow in this as we grow and become sanctified and more learned as followers. But it's the relationship that begins at the moment of regeneration, at the moment of rebirth. He makes himself known in us. And he's real and he's alive, and there's power in being in relationship with him. Love brings new life. I want us to consider the last two verses here. Chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. Love brings new life. Here's what it does. Jesus said to her, Mary, stop clinging to me. I mean, that'd almost be a little bit offensive. I'm just, you know. I mean, she's finally, I've got hope now. She's finally, right? Finally out of darkness in the light, and she grabs a hold of him. She wasn't going to let him go. And Jesus says, stop clinging to me. Boy, that's kind of a joy buster right there, isn't it? It almost, not really. We'll come back to it. Let's keep reading, verse 17. Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father. Here's the key. My God and your God. Can you see a relationship there? Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, proclaiming to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. Love produces a new relationship. I mean, that's the key here. The love of God, when Mary experienced the resurrected Jesus, there was such a pervasive love. The darkness had been dispelled, and now she is loving Jesus. I mean, she's just grabbing a hold of Jesus, right? And Jesus says, do not cling to me, not because he was ill at her or not because he was offensive. That may be how it appears to us initially. Jesus was saying, hey, I'm now beginning a new kind of relationship. This is new. Now, Mary, you've never had a relationship with me like this. Because for 3.5 years, Mary, you have followed me. From the time I set foot in Magdala and I ministered you and cast out the 7 demons in your life, and you have been a faithful follower of mine, and you have walked with me, you have talked with me, we have eaten together, we have sung together, we have, you know, read scripture together, I have taught you and you have listened, et cetera, et cetera. But now things are going to be different. I will no longer be with you in my flesh. But you know, Mary, I'm going to be right with you. Because my Father is your Father. And your brethren is my brethren. My God, your God. There is a new relationship now, Mary, that's even stronger than the former one. Now, many of you have wondered, well, if Jesus was alive today, would I have been a follower? Would I be a follower? You know, I don't know if you ask yourself those kind of things. I do from time to time. If I was back in those days, or if he was back in these days, would we be connected. Here's what Jesus said to Mary. The relationship that we've had for 3.5 years has to fade away because there's a greater relationship that we're now entering that is more powerful, more meaningful, more satisfying, more enduring. It never ends. It lasts forever because, Mary, we are now connected, not because of the flesh. It's not because we stand beside each other. It's because now there has been a change in your life. So I need to ask you, is your relationship with God kind of like a typical religious relationship? Religious. You characterize yourself as religious. You do religious things. You pray. You give some money. You attend a house of worship. Or would you say that Christ is in me? I have yielded myself. I've repented of my sin. This power of his love is now in me. There's a desire now. There's a real desire in me. And that desire is passion. Because we've been reborn of his spirit. Love produces a new relationship, and love creates a new direction. Now, as soon as Mary discovers this new relationship with Jesus that will move her on in her life, she began to immediately announce all that Jesus had said to her. I mean, she began to tell everybody everything. Let me tell you, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. And then she begins to tell him every little detail, I'm sure. It doesn't specifically state it that way, but it's pretty close. She began to tell folks just about everything that Jesus has said to her. She began to announce. I mean, her life was changed. She had a new focus and a new priority. Listen real carefully. If the love of God has not given you a new focus in life or have realigned your priorities, you still yet haven't gotten it. Because the good news is, now this is the good news. The good news is he gives us a beautiful, glorious focus in life. Our focus is not just on things, even if they're good things like Jesus of Nazareth. You see, it's on a new relationship. The darkness is gone. The sadness, the despair, the anxiety, the worry, the depression, the defeatism, all of that now has been washed away and been removed. And now Mary is living in a new life because the love of God is its power. And she begins to realign her priorities, and she begins with a new focus. What about you? Where's your focus? Now, we have to see to a whole lot of things, don't we? You'll say, preacher, but I got a job, and I've got family, and I've got housework to do, and I got yard work to do, and chores and situations, and a lot of people depend on me. Was that different than Mary? Was that different than Peter and John and James? It was the same. I mean, life, in a sense, is the same for us all in that regard. We all have responsibilities. But our focus and our priority changes because the power of God's love is in us. And that has defined a new relationship with him. Once you experience the love of Jesus and you come out of darkness, you too will experience this new focus and this new priorities. Everything in life changes. You just can't keep from it. You see, the day of darkness is no more. Now, this is darkness. And now this is light. They don't exist together. They both exist, but they don't exist together. You can't live in darkness and light. Now, what we sometimes do is just say, I'm going to turn the light off and I'm going to live in darkness because I'm around certain people. But this coming Sunday, I'm going to turn the light back on. But I think you'll agree, light and darkness do not coexist together. They exist, but they don't exist together. The power of God's love,
It's real. It gives joy instead of sadness, peace instead of tribulation. It gives comfort instead of worry. And none of us are perfect. I'm not saying you never have challenge, but you got to come out of the darkness and live in the light, because there's power in the light, which is the love of God in us. You know, when I was a child, I was playing in the woods. It wasn't our woods. I knew them quite well. It was the woods of my friend. He and I both were playing behind his house. We got deeper in the woods than we thought, and we lost our way. And so we climbed a tree to see if we couldn't identify some of the horizon. We couldn't. And so we just kept walking. We came to a creek, and being a trained Boy Scout, as I was, knew that you always walk down creek, not up a creek, because I was already up a creek. I needed to walk down the creek. So I encouraged him, and he followed. We were walking in the creek, and the sun began to set, and it began to get dark in the woods. And here we are, we're wading down the creek, not knowing if there were snakes and critters and Lord knows what was all in the creek. But at that point, it didn't matter, because we were lost in the woods in the dark, and it was haunting. It's frightening. I mean, we just kept walking, just kept walking, just kept walking. And finally, through the woods, we could see some lights just fly by, just pass by. And immediately we began to cheer up, and we began to run, because those lights actually were headlights of a car that was on a road that drove by. And you're talking about picking up the pace. We began to run toward the light, because we knew that was where safety and wellness and goodness would be found. Some of you have been running away from the light, and I don't understand it. And I love you too much not to be as kind and gentle as I can, but I'm saying the light is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. And Jesus is the incarnation of the love of God. He loves you. He wants to change your life. There's power, nothing more powerful in the arsenal of God than his love. And he's in us. And even though there are problems and darkness that comes, and moments of the challenge, but with the love of God, we're able to live successfully and victoriously. Don't run away from the dark, from the light, when that's what God gave you to save you, to strengthen you, to deliver you, to care for you. He's thrown out the lifeline, and we sometimes just let it go by. Are you saved by his great, glorious love and salvation? Jesus died on the cross to take your sin away, but you've got to receive him. You got to follow him. Accept this. Accept the love. Just, it's a gift. Accept it. And then you have to live in it. Maybe you've not been biblically baptized. You need to follow him. You got to obey him. Maybe the Lord's leading you to unite with our church family. You need to come. I want to pray for you, if I might. God, have your way today. Have your way in our lives. Do, O Lord, in us as you would have, that we would come to the light, run to the light, because it's there and there alone where darkness is dispelled. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. They can consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.